spirits of Thyatira, and him that overcometh, what does it say there? And I left my glasses at home, and I tried it. If anybody wants to take over,
you want to try mine?
Sure.
I got some more. I can go out and get some out of the office.
Are they just?
They're just reading glasses.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're strong enough, but they're not hugely strong, but maybe you can.
Any little bit will be better. Well, yeah.
Two different kinds.
Okay, let's see. This is pretty good.
Okay.
Of course, this
I'll
is good.
Go out and get some more.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, I will give power over the nations. Let's start with a word of prayer, and I think I'm going to ask Clyde to do it today. If you would.
Me. Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for a new awakening within our spirit. That Father, the spirit that you have given us, Lord, is more than today than it was yesterday. Because Father, being with you is sweeter than it was the day before. So Father, we just ask in this classroom, Lord, the Holy Spirit, we invite him to come and teach us as we sit here waiting to hear your voice. Father, lead us and guide us into every direction you'd have us to go. But Lord, we lift the name of Jesus high and above all, and that you be seen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, I've been noticing that usually these overcomer verses are pretty well within themselves. You can treat them separately and just talk about them. But this one in Thyatira, I was noticing that you kind of have to read back, you know, two or three verses to really get the idea of what he's talking about. And so I'm gonna read out of the Mirror Bible this morning, just a little bit.
What are you reading?
Revelation, I'm gonna start at 2:24, and the actual one that we're going to talk about, I think, was 2:26.
What is it?
Revelation chapter 2, and it's I'm going to start at 24, but the overcomer verse is 2:26. Okay.
Alright.
So this is really a very hard part of this thing about what this this Jezebel person or thought, spirit that was on the people inside of Tyre. It's called Jezebel spirit. And it really hurts me and sickens me to read about it. So anyway, we're going to start at 2:24. And I'm reading out of the Mirror Bible. It says, I would urge those of you in Thyatira, who do not embrace this Jezebel influence, as well as the ones who perhaps feel they might be missing out on something by not studying the so-called deep things of Satan, to embrace what your hearts resonate with. I'm not giving you anything that will burden you in any way. Lay hold of that which your hearts bear witness to until you fully grasp the scope and understand the most conclusive significance of my coming. And then it goes down to 2:26. And this gets pretty clear, and I love this verse in the mirror. Seeing my victory as your victory. You know, that's the only way we can see victory for us. Our victory is in his victory. Seeing my victory as your victory makes you the overcomer. By embracing the completeness of my works as your treasure, you realize my authority in you to possess the nation. And in the King James, it says, and you'll rule them with a rod of iron. And this Mirror Bible says that that's slightly not proper, not exactly the proper translation. It's more like a shepherd's hook, that you will rule them like a shepherd. Okay, so let's think about this. 2:27. You will shepherd the nations. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, with a royal scepter, and shatter their alienated mindsets like a potter's vessel of clay. Okay. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. It's so much better than beating the heck out of the nations with a rod of iron. In the same way that my shepherding mission is sourced in the Father, I have extended it to you. I also give you the morning star. Wow, that's pretty good stuff. Now listen up with your inner ears, guys. I put the guys in. Hear with understanding what the Spirit is saying to the Ecclesiastica. The Ecclesia. So, I was reading some other things about this Jezebel spirit, and it says, I'll read it out of the Passion Bible too. I'll start it.
Okay.
Okay, 18, okay. It says, write the following to the messenger of the congregation at Thyatira. For these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are blazing fire and whose feet like burnished brass. I know that what you've done for me, all that you've done for me, your love and faith, your ministry and steadfast perseverance. In fact, you now excel in these virtues even more than at the first. But I have this against you. You are forgiving that woman, Jezebel. See, I don't understand all of that. I'm going to read it and then we'll talk about it because I don't understand it. Who calls herself a prophetess and is seducing my loving servants. She's teaching that it is permissible to indulge in sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I have waited for her to repent from her vile immorality, but she willingly refuses to do so. Now I will lay her low with terrible distress along with her adulterous partners if they do not repent. And I will strike down her followers with a deadly plague. Oh, now see, that kind of scares me, considering what we're going through today. Then all the congregations will realize that I am the one who thoroughly searches the most secret thought and innermost being. I will give to each one what their works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who don't adhere to the teachings of Jezebel and have not been initiated into the deep satanic secrets, I say to you, without laying upon you any other burden, cling tightly to all you have until I appear, the appearance. To everyone who is victorious, now we're up to 26. To everyone who is victorious and continues to do my works to the very end, I will give you authority over all the nations to shepherd them with a royal scepter. And the rebellious will be shattered as clay pots. Even as I also received authority from the presence of my Father, I give the morning star to the one who experiences victory. So, the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying to all the churches. I need some, you know, let's talk about that and let's clarify some of that for me as well as for all of us.
Well,
it's a big chunk, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll go back to the first verse if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, it says, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, this is the King James, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire, and feet like fine brass, or a lot of times like burnished brass. When you see Jesus described in the beginning of Revelations, he had, his eyes were like a flame of fire there too, you know. And also when you see him in Daniel, that's who that really was, because Daniel saw the Ancient of Days back there. And his hair was white like wool, his eyes were like a flame of fire. You know, his loins were girded about, as it were, with gold. And in Revelations, the difference there, when John saw him, his paps were girded about with gold. And what Daniel was saying there was that God is going to be, what God was showing him in type and shadow there, he was showing him that God's going to be revealed with his loins girded about as gold. In other words, your loins is where you reproduce from. So he was going to come forth with divine nature to reproduce life. And that's what he came. What did he say when he came? When he came, I came that you might have what?
Life
and have it abundantly. See. Well, then, in Revelations, after Jesus had risen from the dead, then Jesus, the description of Jesus back there was the same as Daniel's, except his paps were girded about with gold. Well, paps, the word for paps means female breasts. And literally, what Jesus came to do was to bring the motherhood nature of the love of God into the earth, and to want to pull mankind up to the bosom and feed them the sincere milk of the Word, that they might, thereby they might grow. And that's what the church is called to do, and to help the creation out there grow up. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because when it talks about brass there, or fine brass, or and it says burnished brass in the beginning of Revelations, having worked in a machine shop, we used to burnish things. So I know what burnish means. And what burnish does is that through friction, like we would burnish holes a lot of times. And what would happen is we would send a shaft into a hole, and it would have like roller bearings on the shaft, and you would increase the pressure just a little bit, and you'd run it in and out of that hole. Then you'd increase the pressure a little bit more, and what you did was all of the rough areas in that bore after a while were completely gone, and it was as smooth as it could possibly be. And also a lot of times it would be like taken to a high gloss. And when you take brass and you polish it to a high gloss, then whenever light hits the glass, what happens? A prism is formed. Just like if you have a piece of crystal and you shine light on it. A prism will, and you took it over close to a wall, you shine light, you sunlight on it, took it over close to a wall, all of a sudden you're going to see the colors of the rainbow because it breaks down light, so that you can see what it really is, the colors of it. And I believe that what he's saying here in the first verse, and I'm just going to take the first verse here, what he's saying here is that to the people of Thyatira, write these things, says the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire. And that flame of fire is that we know that he came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And fire is always talking about the ability to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in something. So when you look into the face of Jesus, or the eyes of Jesus, it's to begin to burn up everything that's not of him, you know what I mean, in your life. And in that walk, it is a walk of breaking down the light and showing what the light really is. And we know he was the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Mm-hmm. And now we're the lights of the world because we're a city that's set on a hill and we can't be hid, you know. So our walk should be just like his walk in that sense, that it begins to break down light in people's lives and they begin to see God for what he is and the beauty of Christ and all that. I mean, when you look at light, you know, we see light in here and it just illuminates the temporal realm in here, you know, because it's the temporal realm. This is the temporary realm. Therefore, we look, we see the temporary realm. But when you break down the light, you're showing all of those beautiful colors. It's like the rainbow. That's what the rainbow does, is it shows you all those beautiful colors. And and those colors are all the primary colors. Every color is made up from those colors, you know. So everything is really made up from the light of God. So his walk has to do with there. When he walks into your life or you walk into somebody else's life and you're an expression of him, that light is going to begin to be broken down so that they can see the beauty of God and see, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, then he talks about he knows their patience and their works, you know. And then he talks about Thyatira was a place where they made things of purple. That's what they did in Thyatira, you know, if you historically go back and look. They dyed things in purple colors and all that stuff. And purple was a very, very desirable color. It was a royal color. Mm-hmm. It signified royalty. So even in the natural, what they were really doing, they were producing the colors of royalty and things like that, you know. And Jezebel, you know, there's a Jezebel spirit in the church, and there always has been. And Jezebel, in the Old Testament, Jezebel was the one who had all the prophets of Baal and all that stuff. And Isaiah, Isaiah, when he went out into the desert because she wanted to kill him, you know, he went out into the desert and he was crying out to God and he said, "I alone am left, Lord." And what did he tell him? He said, "There's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to the Baal," you know.
7,000 that he didn't know.
That's a big number. That's God's number, ain't
that's
it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then what happened with him? He had a real encounter where he come to know that God told him to go to this particular cave, and he said, "And I'm going to present myself to you," basically is what he told him. And a big hurricane went by, or all these different wind tempests and all these bigger things. And then there was a small, still voice. And that was where God was. And that small, still voice is inside of us, you know. And to be honest with you, anytime we listen to anything other than that small, still voice inside of us, you know, being the judge of even what we hear outside of us, you know, then if we're not careful, we're going to be listening to the Jezebel spirit out there. You know, it'll be the wrong spirit. But that's just a little bit. I just throw a little bit out there. Anybody got anything else they want to say beyond that or more than what I said or different from what I said, feel free.
Two things. First of all, I used to make color in my life. I made it for over 30-some years. And I can tell you the difference in prices and the difference in color. The most valuable color, the most expensive color there is made by man is violet, is purple. Mm-hmm. It can range from anywhere. Now, just to give an example, you can make a yellow for about $3 a pound. You can make a red maybe for $5. But when you get to violet or purple, you go immediately to $30 and above per pound. So I wanted to tell you that the value is still true today. And the other thing is, I wanted to read this out of the Message Bible. And I wanted to read the part about Jezebel. "But why do you let that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, misled by my dear servants into cross-denying..." This is what she does. She leads them into denying the cross, mm-hmm. self-indulging religion. I gave her a chance to change her ways, is what the Lord said. But she has no intention of giving up her career in the God business. Wow. Now, that should be a big hint to anybody that's got ears to hear. The God business. We have no business being in the God business. God takes care of that itself. You know, God's got a son, took care of all that. All right? Well, anyway, I'm about to lay her low, along with her partners, as they play the self and religious games. Wait a minute, anyone says. There are sex and religious games. The bastard offspring of their idol whoring, I'll kill. Then every church will know that appearances don't impress me. We should realize that. And impressions don't impressing. I x-ray every motive and make sure you get what's coming to you. Now, Uncle Paul, that's Curtis's dad, used to say all the time, he said, if your motives are right, you'll be right. But if your motives are wrong in any way, you're wrong. So that, and I mean, I've always kept that with me. And it says, it goes on and says, who scorned this playing around with the devil and gets paraded as profoundly, be assured that I will not make your life any harder than it is already for you. Hold on to the truth. Now, this is great. Hold on to the truth you have until I get there. Then it talks about the conquering and the morning stars and stuff like that. But the whole thing is, I mean, the truth back then, still the truth today. That don't change. The truth don't change. Now, I will say what changes, and you can clarify me, I'm willing to be corrected here. What changes is our priority on that truth. I mean, when we make truth a high priority, we don't ever give it any way not to be true. Otherwise, you know, somebody gets a word from the Lord and he says, that's true. Now, it might not be true to the rest of you, but it could be true to him. See, I mean, what is it, a word in due season or whatever? That's the same thing as the truth in due season. You know, there's a season in our life that we come that we're going to hear the truth that you've been set free. And you're no longer going to be walking in captivity. You're going to be walking in freedom. Why? Because you won't go back. Because you know what that did. That enslaved us, or that bound us together in an area to where we didn't want to be bound together. Now if we're bound together, we're bound together with love. You know, and that's the same love that sets us free. But I like what it said about the cross-denying, self-indulging religion. I don't know. We've talked about it over the years. But we can never get away from the cross of Jesus. Never. I mean, if that was the case, why would he have said, let you take up your cross and follow me? He's telling you, you have a cross to bear. I bear the cross that you don't have to bear, but there is a cross. And I think that's just our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you got a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's an easy cross. Why? Because he makes it easy. He said, I know you can't do that, but I'm going to do it for you and with you. You're going to see me in every aspect of it. But when you start denying the cross, it's like, I kind of combine that with denying the blood.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you deny the cross, you're denying the blood. I mean, God has showed me things, and he said, speak this out loud, and I'm going to show you something. I won't tell you who it was, but he told me to hug this brother, and he said, and just say the blood of Jesus. He almost threw me down on the ground. He didn't want nothing to do with the blood of Jesus. God said, now that's between you and me. And he said, I want you to, and I'm not saying nothing other than, I mean, God will prove himself to people. You know, I know it's by the blood. There's redemption. We've been redeemed by that blood. We've been put in the place that we should be by that blood. Anyway, I'll shut up.
You know, I think this is really clearing this up for me. Because I somehow got all tied up in thinking of it in natural terms. You know, if you have ever had any sexual sin in your life, you know, yeah. you're of the Jezebel. And that's not what they're talking about, something different.
Right.
And so it's you know, and I kept getting this feeling that it's works. He's saying it. It's works, and you're going to go to hell. And that's not at all what he's saying. He's saying, I see into your heart, and I see your spirit, and there is an influence in certain cultures.
You know what, the stuff that Clyde read, that was very, very good.
Yeah, I like that.
And this particular definition here of it, and this comes out of the Blue Letter Bible, okay? Mm-hmm. And it says, the wife of Ahab, an impetuous and cruel queen who protected idolatry and persecuted the prophets. Mm-hmm. The symbolic name of a woman who pretends to be a prophetess and who addicted to anti-nominationalism, almost, and wouldn't that be almost the same of today as saying denominationalism? Mm-hmm. Now what you were telling me before, remember, when we were talking at mm-hmm. the beginning, about the minister, mm-hmm. If you would share that again, about how that he was very anointed and they called him before the board, and if you would share that again.
The church didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they had heard some talk, I guess, going on, and so he was called before the board in Columbus,
yeah.
and he asked for prayer. And we all agreed in prayer with him. Well, who he really talked to was me and Betty and Ned.
Just don't say his name.
Yeah, me and I'm not. Oh, I'm not.
Yeah.
That we had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and didn't know that he did, and he did when he was among us. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, prevalent. And so when he came back, nothing was ever said about what happened or what was said or anything, but he no longer spoke an anointed word. And so we knew, you know, that he had not took a stand in what he believed and what God said. You know, as time went on, God had used him, but it was not pastoring and shepherding, you know.
What were they doing? They were throwing four walls around him. Mm-hmm. In other words, their doctrine, you know, step outside of those four walls and they're mm-hmm. ready to censor you or ready to kick you out of the church. Brother Eddie originally was a
Methodist
minister, mm-hmm. and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
And they were gone.
And they put him out of the church, you know. But later on, a lot of the Methodists, because mm-hmm. started seeing the baptism of the Holy Spirit years and years later, but that back then they did not, you know. But, you know, that's sort of the way that stuff goes. And I'll read you the rest of this here, because I think it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It says, a symbolic name of a woman who pretended to be a prophetess and who addicted to anti-nominationism, it's a hard word to say, mm-hmm. claimed Christian liberty of eating things sacrificed to idols. Well, the thing about it was is that, you know, you are what you eat. And if any time that you put any religion or any person or anything on a pedestal, they become an idol, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, if you eat of things, partake of things that are idolatry, you know, mm-hmm. that doesn't please God, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, when you come to realize that was the type of Jezebel, that's, to be honest with you, Jezebel's out there in the church system today. Because people are limited, they're held under the thumb of certain doctrines, you know. I don't tell people when they come to church here, they have to believe any certain doctrine that we preach or teach or anything else. I want them to believe what God showed them. If they see something different than what we do, they're still perfectly welcome to come here. You know what I mean? And if the word of God that we speak here ministers to their heart, it will change them. We don't have to change them. And we don't try to put a fence around somebody and say, you have to believe this particular doctrine. But the funny thing about it is even some of the kingdom preachers tend to do that to a certain extent. They tend to push the church away at times because they're into a deeper truth, and the church doesn't really accept their truth, so they just, I'm not having anything to do with you. Well, no, that's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture says that there'll come a time, and it's talking about the church in the Old Testament, where your sons will marry you. Mm-hmm. The sons of God are going to have to go back and marry the church. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be the true married supper of the Lamb. Yes. The sons of God are going to have to go back and marry the church. In other words, they're going to have to quit worrying about all of the ins and out little doctrines that they've got, and even the revelation that they have, trying to force it on somebody. You know, when in the natural, when a man marries a woman, what does he do? They go up and they proclaim their vows to each other. What happens to her?
Has a name change.
Her name changes.
Yeah.
Now, she doesn't know when she first marries that guy what all that entails at that time. You know what I'm saying? In the natural, you don't. And I'm talking about, you know, just the way things naturally are. But over a period of a lot of years, she finds out that if that husband really loves her, that name change meant that he pulled her right up beside him. Mm-hmm. And when she spoke, it was him speaking. When he spoke, it was her speaking. You know, that was the one thing that I really enforced to my children as they were growing up. You know, I had my daughter come to me one time, and she wanted to go to some kind of a thing with some girlfriends or something. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but anyway, when she came to me, she was acting a little bit sheepish, you know. And the Lord gives you discernment, and you know. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. She says, what's that? I said, did you ask your mother? And she got real quiet. Yeah. And I said, did you ask your mother? And she says, well, yeah. I said, well, what did your mother say? Yeah. And she says, well, I said, what did your mother say? And she said, no. I said, when your mother says no, that's me saying no too. And when I say no, you better not go to your mother and ask her, because you're going to be in big trouble with me if you do. I said, we stand as one. And I said, when she says no, that's me saying no. Now, if we disagree about that, we'll disagree about it in private, not in front of you. And you know, and that was the one thing with my kids, I'd never allowed them to ever play us against each other. Never allowed that. Well, to be honest with you, a lot of times we don't realize that the church system out there plays you against other church systems. I went to a singing thing one time. These people that were singing, you know, it was to another church. I went and visited. I was when we weren't having service. And these people that got up and sang, oh, they were good. They were very anointed. And this church that I was at was a Nazarene church. And the people that were singing were said to be Baptists, but they weren't Baptists, you know, in the sense of how, you know what I mean, the doctrines of baptism. Because they were tremendously anointed, and the Holy Spirit was moving through them tremendously. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they all had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, you just sense that. So what happens when the service is over, the minister gets up and says, well, they were pretty good considering they're not Nazarenes. And I thought, oh, why did you say that?
Oh,
it was the Holy Spirit moving for them. It's the same as it'd be the Holy Spirit. But you see, that's that fence. That's that Jezebel doctrine of where it has to be held within those four walls, you know. And it's out there. And God's breaking all that down. I mean, He is breaking that down. I honestly believe that. Because I hear people preach and teach things now in other denominations that 15, 20 years ago or 30 years ago they never would have said. Never. But God's starting to break it down. And I like the story that Bill Britton told one time. And he said that there was yellow ducks, spotted ducks, and striped ducks. And they were all in their own separate pens, you know. And he said, and they were just quack, quack, quacking at each other. Quack, 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 quack. All these different pens, see, at the other ducks. He said, but it started to rain. And it rained. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it kept on raining. And all of a sudden, the water started to rise in these pens. And said, after a while, the water rose up above the height of the pens. And he said, all of a sudden, all the ducks are just swimming together, and they're all just all ducks, you know. And that's what's, the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And as that happens, all of this stuff with I'm a this or I'm a that or all these mistaken identities that people put on themselves, rather than that they're all Christians and they're all children of God,
yes.
You know, that stuff's going to all come to an end, to where everybody's going to just love the Lord and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's, you know, I can talk. I've always been able to talk to anybody in any denomination, because I will go down to the level of the love of God and talk to them on that level. I don't try to tell them high mighty things or high minded things. I talk to them on the level of the love of God. And you'll win more people by doing that when they realize, hey, this guy's just a brother in the Lord, or you know, something. And you know, and friendship I'm talking about, because the first thing people want to know a lot of times is what church do you go to when you meet them, if they're a Christian. And that should never be asked. You're a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You're part of His body. And I'm not saying the denomination of Jesus Christ. I'm saying the body of Christ, you know. And once we get past all that stuff, then Jezebel will come to an end, you know. And He's going to slay her children, you know.
Yes.
And the children is the things that she produces, that she's putting out there producing. And when He slays the children, it's not the people. He's going to slay the teaching. He's going to slay the thing that she was trying to reproduce in them, the idolatry and all the other things. That's what God wants to slay. He doesn't want to slay the people.
Yeah. Along those lines, can I just throw this in? You were talking about that He never spoke again. You were talking about the four walls.
God used Him up, but he wasn't a pastor of a church.
Church, yeah.
Oh, yeah, God used, you know.
In the Mirror Bible, it says here about, and I thought this fit in so much, he says about Jezebel, the bed of your adultery will become your confinement to great anguish. That's that four walls. Even then, I will continue to invite you to awaken from your deception. And then as a afterward about that, it says the word philipsis means that's that word confinement. Philipsis means a narrow claustrophobic space of intense pressure. The very platform of the man-made church institution from where you have run your religious business will become your prison and punishment. It's a good thing. That's good. The scene of the sin is also the scene of the inevitable consequence. But where sin increased, grace superseded. That's Romans 5:20. That I think that went along really well with what you guys were saying.
I want to share. When I worked the polls Tuesday, and I didn't. Well, you know, you meet everybody, and I haven't done it but a couple of years, but when I was in a van, I can't tell how many years I worked at the pole. Well, I didn't know which station I was going to be or with whom, but I had prayed and asked God, even before I went, you know, that morning at 5:30, that this would be His day. So I just sat down at this one space, and then after a while, this one woman came and sat next to me, And we, that day went so fast. We talked and shared. And she didn't say what church. She told me, you know, I got two real good friends. One's a Catholic, and the other is Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. She said, but we're good friends. We talked and shared, and she shared some experience. She just, her husband had been dead a few years, and she just started sharing about, you know, her life and sharing things. She got so that when people came up that she knew, she introduced me, said, this is my sister. She introduced me to them. Well, at the end of the day, we were all, our duties at the end, you know, ending and getting things together. She hugged me and she said, do you know what, when we were talking, and I said, I know, I could feel, she said, I could feel God's presence so many times as we were sharing. And I don't know, or I didn't ask, are you saved, or did she ask me? You know, it didn't, none of that came. I just know when God moves and is moving in your midst, and she said, you know, there's no coincidence, and I said, no, there isn't. I said, I believe our steps are ordered of God, and she gave me her, I asked her when we were getting ready to get in our cars here, end up, she was parked next to my car.
Oh, precious.
And she gave me her name, and we exchanged names and phone numbers, and she, it's something how God moves. And in his, and we're all, you know, part of his body, and he begins to minister and speak and show himself. I tell you,
the whole world is on tiptoe.
Yes,
waiting to see that, just that spirit. Praise God.
Yeah.
Feel it.
Yes.
Well, you guys. That to me, that this was a good conversation, and I really needed it, because when I came in, I was feeling really down about so much sin going on, and I see that such a difference in my, even in my understanding and perception of what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
What God was really speaking there. We all get down. Sometimes we understand things incorrectly. And I think I understood this whole thing incorrectly. But in the end, it gives us the morning star. So that's good.
Can I say something too?
Sure.
On your verse 26, 27, 28, mm-hmm. What it says here, it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words, my works, it says, unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and vessels as the vessels of a potter, and they shall be broken to shivers, and even as I received of my Father, I will give him the morning star. Now, you know, I like what you said there before about, you know, about the rod of iron, and it does have the connotation of being a shepherd's crook,
mm-hmm.
but also when it says, and he shall break them, when you start talking about that, what I started thinking about was Gideon. When Gideon was told to go forth against all of the enemies, you know, the only thing that they took, only thing he took with him, was a pot or a vessel and a trumpet. That's the only thing he took, okay? And there was 300 of them, and they were to blow the trumpet. And have you ever tried to blow a trumpet and break something at the same time? Well, God had to break the vessel. And when the vessel was broken, then the light would shine. Well, all of the enemies heard the message of the trumpet being blown. And seeing the light, they rose up and killed each other off. All the enemies killed each other off. So, because really the battle was the Lord's. And to be perfectly honest with you, when God brings forth the overcomers, and they keep my works even unto the end, I will give them power over the nations, and the power over the nations he will give, they will break the vessels with the rod of their mouth. There will be a rod of their mouth, and that rod of their mouth will be the authority of the word of God, not something to destroy, but something to break the vessel, that what's inside can be seen, you know. And we know that inside of every man there's the light of God. Whether they know it right now or are aware of it, it's there. You know, because he's the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. That's what the scripture declares. And, you know, the message that's going to come forth is going to be a message of love. It's going to be a message of forgiveness. And it's going to begin to break the bonds on people out there, because that's what they're looking for in outside things. They're looking for it in religion. They're looking for it everywhere they can. They're looking for that that peace, that love, that joy, all of the things that the Holy Spirit gives you, you know. And but I honestly believe that message that comes forth, it will break those vessels. And you know, I'll give unto him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. God's going to break the church system eventually. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the organized church system where you got to believe a certain way, you got to do a certain thing or whatever. And that's what they all tend to do. They get you into a little box, you know. I like what, I think it was Fred O'Dell said one time in one of the messages he shared years ago. He said, I can come in and preach a word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he said, and you'll say, the people sitting out there will say, amen, praise the Lord, you know, wonderful, wonderful. And he said, they might have 10 things hanging on the front of the church, their doctrine. A lot of times some churches do that. There are 10 things you gotta go with. I've never seen that, but I know it's out there. And he said, I could have tore down all 10 of those in my message as under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they'd say, praise the Lord, you know, they'd be praising the Lord and stuff. He said, but if I got up and said, number one up there, you know, that, you know, he said, they'd run me out of there on a rail. but see, that's the difference of what's going to happen. As God brings forth people who do keep his works or his word. His word is his works. You know, a lot of people ask, well, what is the work of God? And I shared a sermon a couple weeks ago, and Jesus told them what the work was. He said that you believe on me and whom God has sent, basically is what he said. And you know, that's the work. So we have to believe what God says and move and flow with what he says or speaks to us, you know,
didn't
in these
Jesus
situations.
Jesus even say, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me.
I finished it.
I have glorified your name in youth.
Right. And what does it also say about the glory? Father, it says, the glory that you've given to me, what have I done? I've given it to them.
Yes.
We don't believe we got it, so we don't function in it sometimes. And until we start believing that we've got it and move and function as the Holy Spirit directs us, we won't see creation totally set free. We won't see the bonds broken off of them. We won't see the vessels broken, you know. That's a neat thing about a broken vessel, you know. He wants us to be a broken vessel. When we're a broken vessel, then what's inside of us can be seen, and then it's his nature, his glory, and all that, you know.
When he was talking about him speaking, Odell, you're talking about speaking forth, which was light.
Yeah.
And it was really dispelling what
right.
they were receiving was the light, but it was
right.
dispelling the darkness that was written in all of 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah.
which is darkness.
Right.
It is. And
right.
But he brought forth his light, and it was dispelling that.
You know, he used to crack me up. I mean, anybody that's ever seen him, I don't know if you ever had a chance to see him, and you probably didn't either.
He'd
come in there in the most flamboyant clothes you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
He had on some
orange jacket.
Lime green jacket or orange jacket. And he'd show up one time, he had red hair. Next time he came, he might be blonde. I mean, this was back when people weren't doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, And I have to tell you, he used to crack me up because he preached a very good word. Yes, he had a tremendous prophetic anointing on him. I mean, very, very strong. And, you know, he'd come in, he'd say, well, he'd say, I came looking good and smelling good, and I'm going to leave the same way. You know, see, some of the stuff he'd say, I just sit there and smile, you know, because he'd make me laugh.
I was telling Buddy, I couldn't think of his name, but I was telling Buddy.
Fred O'Dell was his name.
Yeah, that he called me out and prayed over me, and God gave him discernment over exactly what was going on. I was going through, it was tremendous.
He prophesied over me different times, you know. Mm-hmm.
What got me was the fact that if he wasn't getting a real response, I'm talking about Holy Ghost response from the people, forget the people. Amen, walls.
Amen, walls. You know,
I mean, he'd start talking to the walls. And I'm going like this. Yeah. I think he's got people's attention now.
Yes.
I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know if I'm sure he probably went on to be with the Lord because he's pretty old, you know, back then. He wasn't real old, but I'm
But you can probably Google him. You can find anybody.
Yeah.
Google him.
Fred O'Dell was his name. Fred O'Dell. We'll have to do that. I'll check it out, see if I can find out what happened to him.
Right
online.
He's alive, invite him back.
Well, you know, he was. I'm pretty sure. Stan and Lynn told me one time. Now, this is what they said. They told me one time when Marilyn had run away from home. Fred O'Dell was here in town, and he was downtown, staying at the Holiday Inn, I think, downtown or something. And you know, he was ministering at our church. And I think Linda, I think at least she said she told him, you know, about Marilyn. And he said he went down on the river and walked up and down the river praying. And he come back, and they told me this. Now I don't know if they'll corroborate this if you ask them about it, but they told me that he told them exactly where she was. The Lord told him where she was.
God gives you discernment. We were praying one time for a friend, I'm not going to do her name, and the son was having mental problems, and me and Betty and Tobias was on the phone with the parents, and as we were praying, God showed Tobias where he was and said he's coming, you know, now and that, and he did. He brought him right, God brought him right into their venue. And God is faithful, I tell you, boy.
I remember put those back in my office. Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Next week, Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. I'm sure there's lots of good nuggets in there because it's confusing me again. So, let's see. Buddy, would you pray for this?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for this class. Thank you for enlightening our minds, Father.
Yes.
Bring everything to the truth, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Let the Father and service, Father, praise and glorify your holy name, Lord, to whomever brings it. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.